It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now, reckoning with hate, reflecting on the gay nightclub mass shooting in Colorado Springs as vigils were held around Colorado yesterday. Club Q has been described in media accounts as a safe space, a sanctuary for two decades to the LGBTQ community. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to talk. Paula Stone Williams is a founding pastor of a church in Boulder, Colorado. She is focused on gender equity, LGBTQ advocacy, and religious tolerance. We last spoke about her memoir, As a Woman. Paula, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, it's good to be back with you today.
When you heard the news, how did you process it? What has gone through your head?
You know, I actually had an odd response to it. I had just awakened in San Francisco. I was speaking there that day. And I thought of Shakespeare's Macbeth thing, life is but a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing, because that was a part of the speech that I was to give that day. And it just hit me how maddening this is. This is not the first time I've had to totally rewrite a speech on a Sunday morning based on a shooting of queer people the night before, and just shouldn't be that way. You begin to wonder, is there any real hope for healing?
Is there any real hope for healing? What do you tell your parishioners who look to you for answers?
You know, I tell them it's really about two things. It's always been about two things. It always will be. It's about proximity and narrative. We cannot withdraw from those who do not see life in the same way we do. We've got to keep in close proximity to them. And then we've got to be willing to tell our stories and to listen to the stories of others. I try to do that routinely. I get paid a lot of money to speak for an hour at universities, but I pay my own way to very conservative Christian universities because I know they're not going to have a chance to meet someone like me or to hear my story. And if we don't stop the rhetoric, we're not going to get there. And so I think by telling our stories to one another, by listening to one another, by placing ourselves in close proximity is really the only way that we can bring about an end to this madness. And that's not high tech. It's the way that we've had to be doing this, you know, for generations.
When you talk about their stories, I keep thinking back to these five victims who were killed at Club Q and something that happened by the police chief. The victims' families had provided the names and pronouns of their loved ones, and they identified pronouns, which is not common at, you know, these times when a police chief gets up to the lectern and names the deceased. How did you feel about that?
Well, I was surprised because it's Colorado Springs, which is, in fact, on the Front Range of Colorado, the most conservative city. There are a lot of Christian evangelical institutions that are headquartered there. So I was very encouraged by that. I see that routinely here in Boulder County. I see it routinely here in the Front Range of Colorado, but not so much in other parts of the nation, particularly where I grew up in Ohio or Kentucky or West Virginia.
Where does the hatred of LGBTQ plus people come from?
You know, I believe that we are always frightened of things we do not understand. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Haidt, in his marvelous book, The Righteous Mind, says people will change their minds, but not unless information comes to them in a non-threatening way. And we have an environment that keeps explaining everything in threatening ways. And as long as we are filled with fear, we're not going to be open to hearing new information. And we are, the LGBTQ plus population, a small percentage of the population. Trans folks are 0.58% of the population. Even with gay, trans, all of us together, it's 5% of the population. And so we are a minority. You know, we take a look in the South, for instance, and we know who's driving a lot of the anti-transgender laws. And often it's people who've had no contact with someone who's out as a transgender person.
How present or constant is the fear of violence that you and others in the community face? Or, you know, what is that threat like?
not this past Thanksgiving, but the previous Thanksgiving in 2021, I woke up in the morning to a whole bunch of texts. I mean, a plethora of texts that were hate texts that had been coordinated from states close to you and from Canadian provinces close to you. And, you know, that's frightening. It's Thanksgiving morning. You really think this is all you have to do with your time is to say terrible things about me and to tell me I should not exist in the face of the earth. It's frightening. I am a fairly public figure, so I receive a lot of hate mail, and I've done four TED Talks that have been very popular. And, you know, you look at the comments on them. Well, you don't look at the comments on those. And the thing that surprises me is that people don't see the connection between the hateful rhetoric and the action. Yes, when you publicly provide all this hateful rhetoric, as so many do, and then you expect that people are not going to act on that, there are a lot of unbalanced people in the world.
Reverend Paula Stone Williams, reflecting on the mass shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs, how to confront hate. Join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We make space to reflect on the massacre at the LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs and how to address hate in America. Now let's discuss our year-end membership drive that is officially underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Jennifer Dargan. It is the year-end member drive, and it's your chance to support the programs that you count on every day on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, and inspired. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2023.
And we want to make sure you know about our special two-day Giving Tuesday challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform you and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation is so important. Be one of the 500 people that is going to help meet this challenge before the end of the day tomorrow. Join the Giving Tuesday challenge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're talking about the Colorado Springs nightclub shooting with a pastor whom we've had on our show before, bringing such valuable insight on how to heal from hate, how to be allies to the LGBTQ community in our state right here in Wisconsin. These are valuable. These are critical conversations as we try to make sense of the world. You count on them from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. So that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes topics like these possible every day. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
You can choose an amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It only takes a few minutes. And once it's set up, your support for the programs that you value is always current.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals through food bank thank you gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this drive to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
Right, $10 or $20 a month. Think about what you spend $10 on, maybe books or games or maybe apps on your phone. These are all the things that make your day better. And just like Wisconsin Public Radio makes your day better. And with your gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
When you support WPR, you join a community of 50,000 people who give what they can for the programs they value. So join in now. Give $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift is powerful at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And with tomorrow being Giving Tuesday, we've got a Giving Tuesday challenge in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR by the end of the day tomorrow, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you rely on.
I love that. And heard from Emily in Saxon, who says, I learn so much from listening to WPR programs and know I'm broadening my worldview every time I turn on the radio. Emily, thank you so much for your support. Join Emily at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We turn our attention to the LGBTQ nightclub massacre in Colorado Springs as the suspect is being held on murder and hate crime charges. One photo captured by ABC News, it shows a person at the makeshift memorial near Club Q holding a rainbow flag that says, Love Trumps Hate. Join in now, 800-642-1234. Conversation, 800-642-1234. Paula Stone Williams is one of the founding pastors of Left Hand Church in Boulder and stays with us. Paula, how can people counter the messages of hate that circulate against the LGBTQ community?
I do think it starts by being an ally, by being someone who's willing, in your own initiative, to speak up and say, these are folks just like us trying to live their lives just as we are. But I don't think that we accomplish what needs to be done just by being allies. I think we have to move to the next step. And the next step is to become apprentices, to go to those who are a part of the minority community and say to them, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to use my position for to accomplish things that are good, that are positive? And I think the most important thing people can do right now is to talk about someone they know from the LGBTQ plus community and talk about them as being a normal human being, as just being like them. And that, I think, gets us further than anything else. Again, back to those two things, it's proximity and narrative. If I'm regularly hearing from someone who has friends who are transgender or who are a part of the LGBTQ plus community, then it is easier for me to understand that these are, in fact, just regular folks trying to live their lives.
Let's bring on a caller. Daja joining us from Eau Claire this morning. Daja, hi. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm a trans trucker lady, and I'm traveling the country, you know, for the last 3 months, trying to make some good money, finally. And I stopped by the Wisconsin Information Center down by Illinois, and I asked about Madison. I wanted to go visit, and I was wondering if they had any LGBTQ, you know, community there. And the information person didn't know. And she said to look it up, so I did. And there was over 35 LGBTQ-owned businesses there.
So how did that make you feel?
Oh, gosh, a bit betrayed. Mm. You know, I'm an American, and why wouldn't my community be a part of general information?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As you drive across the country, does that sentiment hold in other places you visit? Do you encounter that?
Yeah, there's a lot of ignorance about LGBTQ folks in general, especially how to treat a trans woman or a trans person. A lot of cis folks tend to out us, you know, like, and they think that's okay if they see our transness to comment on that without our permission. But what I'm also seeing is a lot of generosity, despite my transness and my panness. I'm also pansexual. But, you know, I've had other truck drivers who are cisgender and probably heterosexual install my CB radio and give me food, help me back into spots. And my panness or transness isn't ever an issue.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Paula, go ahead.
I'm hoping that we see significant change. I was invited to Los Angeles, to Hollywood, just a couple of weeks ago to speak with current writers of current television shows about how to present the trans community. And it was delightful talking with those folks because we are, in fact, normalizing the fact that we exist and that we are moving in the right direction. If you take a look at the millennial generation or Gen Z, you see massive shifts from my generation, the baby boomers, or even from Gen X. People are becoming more and more accepting, but also when you're fearful, it is in fact that time that is the most frightening. And so that's still what we're seeing take place as fear drives so many of our actions. I would love to see instead hope driving our actions, just as your caller was just saying, that hope that people will reach out and be good and kind to one another.
Paula, take care, and thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you again, Kate. Thank you.
Paula Stone Williams, one of the founding pastors of Left Hand Church in Boulder, author of As a Woman. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.